reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Genesis. It's on page 11. We read Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson is found in Paul's letter to the Romans on page 1205, and we read Romans 4, beginning at verse 1. "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, page 1136, and we read John 3, beginning at verse 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, one cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said it to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And just one more verse beyond that. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is our text. What is love? There's been somebody out there for the last several months spending an awful lot of money on a commercial to try to explain what love is and how Americans are supposed to do it. It's some guy, I guess he is a wrestler, that if you met on the street and had a disagreement with him, you would fear for your life. And he's walking through a neighborhood, and there's all kinds of people that he meets along the way, and he tells you that love has no labels. And names off different types of races and different types of genders and different kinds of relations that people might have, some of which the Bible strongly condemns. What is love? Well, from one point of view, or in one sense of Scripture, he's right. God so loved the world. There are no exclusions under that. And he loves us despite all of our sin. But there's an angle, if you will, in that commercial that isn't quite the biblical definition of love. The suggestion of being that somehow love means you never say no to something. That love means you can't condemn something. And as we just heard in those words from Scripture, the fact that God doesn't love, the fact that God so loved the world doesn't mean that people can't be condemned. There's an interesting aspect to the account of man falling into sin. As you read through that biblical account in Genesis chapter 3, there's this passage where it's talking about the tree of life. And God says that he's got to kick Adam and Eve out of the garden, if you will, throw them out of the house, lest they put forth their hand and eat from that tree of life and live forever. Isn't that why Jesus came? That we might live forever? How could God be loving if he doesn't allow them to eat from that tree that gives life? Well, the explanation is actually rooted in love. Because God just doesn't want life for us. He wants a good life for us. A life full of joy unending. A life full of love unending. A life full of peace. And when man fell into sin, that wasn't the life he had anymore. Unless there was some mechanism by which he could put off this sinful flesh and also be born again, he'd never have the life that God designed for him. Not because he hated man, but because he loved him, he threw him out of the house. He kicked him out of the garden. Or, to put it in really simple terms, he said, no. What is the life we have? Well, because we are all sinful. It's a life that's often filled with pain and sorrow, with anxiousness, with worry, with guilt. And though we all have them, there are ways which we can live in which we get further away from God's life that tend to increase those things among us. We're being taught in this era and culture to ignore and to just if you will, accept that certain ways of life are no different than the way that God created us to live. And that's just not true. When you get away from God's biblical model where He says He created a man and woman and designed us to live in that relationship, if you will, till death do us part. And when you look as families get further and further away from that, everything that is bad increases the further away you get from that model. Take whatever human malady you want. Depression, drug use, alcoholism, suicide. Further away you get from the biblical model of what life is supposed to be, you start multiplying the rates of all those human maladies within people. Because that's not the life that God designed for us. And in certain types of lifestyles and relationships, you multiply it by about five. Five times the depression. Five times the alcoholism. Five times the suicide rate. Five times whatever. Does love ignore that? Does love just accept that? God's love does not. He doesn't just want life for us. He wants the beautiful, joyful, peace-filled, and forever life. And it's not that He's going to condemn us at some time in the future for the way we are living, as St. John kind of points out in that extra verse I added, verse 18. It's not a future judgment that we face. It's that we're already condemned. But God doesn't ignore us in our state of condemnation. God keeps chasing after us. And He's willing to sacrifice anything that we can be restored to that life for which He designed us. And so God did so love the world that He had His own Son leave His heavenly throne and come into the muck and the mire of this life. And take on our own frail human flesh, and to be mocked and rejected, and ultimately crucified. Yes, God's love says no. But that doesn't mean He's not willing to sacrifice anything for us, that we might be restored to Him. Be you just a parent raising children, you have to learn how to say no. It's not always easy, especially if you got almost 2-year-olds hanging around your house. They scream and they yell and they bellyache. They throw fits. How dare you say no to a 2-year-old? But that's what love does. And when we say no in our culture to things that the world accepts, even when there's abundant evidence that what the world is accepting is bad for you, and you say no, the world also is going to scream and yell and bellyache, and with a more advanced language call you all kinds of things. That doesn't mean you're not loving. And in many ways, we need to show how we care. We need to make sacrifices. We need to give of ourselves. But we still say no. And that is love. If you will, love does have a very clear label. It's not the labels in the commercial. God is love. And when we look to learn how to love each other, that's where we look. And He does love everyone. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him, who receives His words and law and gospel, who recognizes their sin and sees the solution not in tolerance, but in forgiveness, that person has eternal life. May God grant that we also love the world, but not cease to bring His words of both law and gospel to the world we live in our families, amongst our friends, yes, in the workplace. Because it is only by our faith in Him and through His saving work on the cross that we can gain that eternal life that He designed for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.